Ramsey TV.
End of the week here, talking about the snatching away again because it's one of our favorite topics. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. People have been asking when are you going to get your neck fixed? Well, you know, I'll give you a quick update here. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. You know, because I had lymph nodes removed last summer, I have a drainage issue, right, that I hope to get fixed sometime. But in the meantime, I would develop these cysts that would go away on their own. They'd come out, and then they'd go back. I don't, strange thing. But this one under my chin wouldn't go away. And then, so I had a procedure attempted maybe a month and a half ago, where a medical person took a scalpel, I think it was, and you know, made at least two slices in my neck. And so all in good faith, good attempt, but the problem was that I don't think the sterile field was maintained. Anyway, I got an infection. And so I went to the ER last Sunday, right? You remember I was telling you about that. What do you expect to get at an emergency room? You expect to get care, right? I was thinking, like, I have a wound. I have an infection in the front, right? In the front here that I can't show you because it might scare some of you. Well, before I tell you how terrible the ER was, I got the pathology report back 2 days ago or yesterday. I think 2 days ago. I got 3 strains of bacteria. Badass bacteria. The kind of bacteria that would probably kill people, that would kill people if they were sick, if they were in the hospital, like on a ventilator, or if they were in intensive care, if they were hanging on, this would do them in. But I'm running 8 miles a day with this shit, okay? Because I'm strong, I'm healthy, my immune system is great. I just got these nasty critters into my body. And so when I went to the ER, I'm thinking maybe I'll get like wound care because I have a wound. It's a wound, you see. It's why I keep it covered. You think I would get wound care? No, nothing. All they did was take a swab. And they let me sit there and drip. I know it's gross. Oh, I told you a little bit about it the other day, but I'm not going to talk about it but for another minute. That's it. Maybe 55 seconds. Okay, here we go. So that's it. I got 3 bad aspects here, but I'm taking like a whole nother round of antibiotics. Things seem to be coming together a little bit. That's good. But today I went to see yet another doctor, and this doctor was the first one that was really optimistic. Every other doctor assumed the worst. They just said things, just pulled things out of the dark recesses of their anatomies, and just, they were doomsayers without knowing anything. It was really irritating. Thank God today had a nurse practitioner, more than a nurse, less than a doctor. And according to my sister, Kelly, a lot of people like desire nurse practitioners because they care more, like they're trying to climb up, and they're not jaded, and they don't look at the patient as another opportunity to, you know, make a buck, or I can retire next month or whatever. You know, they're really helpful. Man, was this lady helpful. So said something that made so much sense. First, I showed her all the bacteria I had. I had this, and this. Long names, bad names, wicked names, but yeah, this, and this. And she looked at it, and she goes, yeah. Yeah. You need wound care. That's what I was thinking. I need wound care. Wouldn't that be great if somebody cared for my wound? I mean, I care for it myself. Maria helps me care for it. But like professional wound care, like someone needs to like pack it, clean it, pack it. Maybe put a bandage on it that'll last a couple days. I change this thing literally 8 to 10 times a day. I'm getting tired of it. Does it hurt? Yeah. Am I getting tired of it? Yeah. Did God give it to me? Of course God gave it to me. Of course God gives everything. And Sasha from Peru actually said he heard a story one time of a woman that had this really severe kind of cancer. And right after that, she got a really bad virus, like a bacteria. But her immune system kicked in so much because of this bacteria that it actually killed the cancer. And they went back to look for the cancer and it wasn't there. And he says, so they started, apparently, I think I got this right. Don't try this at home, okay? Don't try this at home. I think I got this right. I might have this wrong. They started, like, I don't know when this was or where this was. It started, like, giving cancer patients these bacteria so that they would supercharge the immune system and kill. The C word. This is the other C word, not the C word I was talking about yesterday. So I'm going to get some wound care. I'm so happy about that. And then if that doesn't work with the antibiotics and everything, I think things are happening. I think it's good. Then I have to have the surgery. But, you know, nobody wants to have surgery. If I knew they would all be gone and I'd be fine, I would get it tonight, you know. But you have to, it's just, the wound care is the first thing I need right now, I think. I think so. Anyway, that's that. Now, I promise you we're going to go to Romans 13, 10 through 12. Because I'm going to talk about a man who believe the snatching away would happen in this day, because the snatching away is designed by God to be a present help in time of trouble. It is meant to be looked forward to. It is candy for hurting saints. It's a lollipop. Yeah, it hurts when I swallow. Sometimes. Not all the time. Most of the time. It hurts now. It's like one of those little sour lemon balls you sucked on. It's like, yeah. You suck on the snatching away. You suck on it. You sip it like honey. Or if you're like me, you drink honey like this out of the jar. But whatever your favorite little treat is, it's a refreshment to think about deliverance. And this is why I get so upset when anybody teaches or anybody suggests that there is no deliverance, that Paul didn't mean what he said. It's for a different people. It's all figurative. They're not real clouds. You don't believe we really go up, do you? This is why I get so upset about that. Because at the end of, this is a verse I don't mention very often, but I should. It's at the end of the famous 1 Thessalonians 4, and I always say, and I'm going to stop saying it this way, I always say, there's, you know, the snatching away passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17. No, you got to go to verse 18. And how many times have I said this? I'm going to say it again. So that console one another with these words. Console. Just like sometimes a hamburger, right? Just a good old American hamburger is a great consolation. Or that little lemon sour ball I was talking about. You know, just a hot cup of coffee in the first hot cup of coffee in the morning. So, yeah, and then you take that afternoon break and you get another cup of coffee, let's say, right? And there's something you look forward to. And you just, like, some people get those, my mom used to take paper and just, like, twirl it like this, a comforter, like these little spinny toys they have for anxiety-ridden people. My mom used to be, but to me, I'm thinking of this in a totally positive way. The snatching away is to be savored. I mean, it is to be a present help so that console one another with these words. I know Paul's talking about consolation concerning those who have gone, those who are dead in Christ, but that's okay, console one another. You're going to see your loved ones, but I'd like to ask this question. What's in it for me, Paul? For this, we go to Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 10. Paul says, you shall love your associate as yourself. This is leading to the snatching away. Hang on, where do you see this? Love your associate as yourself. Just a little sub-teaching here, if I can double-click on a folder. You can't love anyone else unless you love yourself. The snatching away, don't be embarrassed. Don't think there's something wrong with you if you think of it selfishly. Not exclusively selfishly. But the way I look at it, you know how I'm troubled by the state of the world. I'm troubled by this cosmos. And so I know that the snatching away is going to be, first of all, beautiful feeling of completion for Christ. Christ is incomplete now. So this is going to, the snatching away is going to be a beautiful completion for Christ. Remember, he's hungry like the wolf, and it's, and the snatching away speaks of the hunger of the snatcher. And so Christ is going to be fulfilled. I look forward to that for him. I look forward to the people of this world. It's going to be a while. They're going to have to go through the tribulation, but like, let's just get this thing started. You remember what Jesus said about the cross? My hour is coming near. I wish it were here. I'm paraphrasing him. I've come to light a fire. There's a fire. I can't get the wording right, but you get the definite feeling, the definite knowledge that he is just wants to get it over with. Let's go. Let's do it. And then he tells Judas, what you must do, do quickly. Because he wanted to get it over with. Let's just start it so we can finish it. Start it so we can finish it. And, you know, I was telling you about Ray Prinzing, who was a preacher I used to listen to back in the 80s. Way back in 82, 83, 84. He used to talk. He had this great analogy. He said, if you're the water on a raging river, it's like you just go, go, go. And the analogy was, we're going toward Christ. We concentrate on Christ. We're reading Paul, who's a slave of Christ. And he said that some people, he says they feel like they're no earthly good because they're just trying to insulate themselves from the world by concentrating on Christ. Not that they don't try to do good to people. They do. They're good people, but they have this one, like, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Set your mind on things above, not that on the earth. In Ray's analogy, that was a raging river. And it's just like, it's almost like, you know, I'm going toward Christ, but why, where does the river go? Where does all the water go? It goes to the ocean. And Ray Prinzing said, and when that raging water, and whatever rage you're going through, I mean, reading the scriptures, trying to understand these things, and understanding the things that we do, and still being in the eon, it's tough to understand what we understand, and to still be here. So sometimes we look a little like, you know, Van Gogh ripping his ear off or something. It's like, we seem like we're crazy people. We're weirdos. We don't fit in. But Ray says, when that raging river gets to the ocean, it can bear the greatest seafaring vessels. It can bear the largest ships ever made. Once that water gets to the ocean, now it can float everything, and it can move everything, and it can sustain everything. That's how I feel about this. I'm not getting to the selfish part yet, but so, what do we have so far? We have, it's going to be a delight for Christ to be complete, because he's incomplete without his body. Then this is the beginning of the good things. This is really the beginning of, can I say it this way? The end of Eon 3 is the beginning of Eon 4. Eon 4 can't begin until Eon 3 ends. So I look at Eon 3 as the beginning of Eon 4. It's a good way to look at it. Because otherwise, you're seeing the seven-year tribulation, and, you know, we're going to have loved ones enduring that. Not that we won't be able to come down and help them, but I don't see the tribulation. The tribulation is not an end. It's like part of that water rushing, 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 rushing. Birth pangs, Jesus called it. The baby being squeezed, rushed through the birth canal, and then it comes out, and then it stretches, and then the mother loves it, she suckles it, and then everything's great. So once the body of Christ is snatched away, that starts everything. That starts all in all. That starts the completion of all things. That's what that does, the snatching away. That I'm looking forward to it for that. And the world's groaning for that. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But don't they know that when the sons of God are manifest in heaven after they're snatched away, that the earth is going to go through a great tribulation? Even the creation knows. Even the animal creation knows it. You got to go through that to get to here. You got to go through that to get here. It's got to be done. The mother knows. I guess it's going to hurt like hell. I got to push that baby out. But once the baby's out, the mother forgets the pain. Jesus said that. I didn't. But it's true. I saw 3 children born. It's true. My God. But now, let's get personal. Because the Snatching Away is 3 things. It is for Christ. It's for the world. And not only for the humankind, but for the celestial world, who are so screwed up, we have no idea what. We have no idea the turmoil up there. The need. We can see the need down here. I see when I'm running, these young people are going in their cars, just revving up. They're so loud. It really pisses me off. I got to admit to you. The noise, just the fact that this gives them some kind of visceral thrill, and it makes them more men. I don't know what it is, but it's like this guy's hurting somehow, you know. And everybody has, you know, everybody, nobody realizes they're on the Titanic. The whole, this planet right now, you know, this is the Titanic. I'll never get tired of that analogy. I'm going to make you sick of it. We're on the freaking Titanic. And oh, they're having fun in the first class dining room. Oh, they're having a good time. The men are having a good time in the smoking lounge. But it's sinking. And Paul's gospel is the lifeboats being lowered from the davits down to the ocean. Except we're going up. Back to Romans chapter 13. You shall love your associate as yourself. This is how he's going to lead into it. Got to love yourself. It's not wrong to love yourself. And now we're thinking of the Snatching Away selfishly, okay? Now you're thinking of it, damn, this is going to feel good. This is going to be the end of all my problems. Some people think that it's wrong to want an end to your problems. What do you mean you want an end to your trials? Don't you know that trials perfect you? Don't you know that God brings you your trials? You want to escape your trials. Oh my God, what a weirdo. No, you're a weirdo if you want to stay in your trials. You're a weirdo. And you think I have the power to get out of my trials anyway? God doesn't listen to me. He's on his own timetable. He listens to me, but he says, okay, yeah, I understand. Thanks for letting your prayers be made known to me. I told you to do that. Okay, this is going to last a little while longer. It's not your will. And then I say, it's not my will, I know, but your will be done. Your will be done. What do you mean you don't want to get out of your trial? We all want to get out of our trials. I am sorry, but there are some ministries out there today that are so holier than thou that they look down on people and they call, you know what they call us? Escapists. You're just a bunch of escapists. You just want to get out of your trials, right? You know, I say to that, no shit. You got me pegged. You guys just want to escape your trials. Yeah. Because I'm honest. What are you, bunch of masochists? Bunch of freaks? Perverts? You want to stay in your trials? As if you can wish yourself out of your trials. As if you're going to be left short. You think God's going to leave you short of any trial you need? You really think that? I'm sorry. Oh my God, he's going to complete every trial. The Snatching Away is not going to happen too soon. That's what some ministries think. Hint, hint. Does anybody wishes for the Snatching Away wishes for their trials to end? Well, first of all, I would say that it's absolutely true, Your Honor. I want my trials to end. But don't you want to be perfected by God? Do you think God's going to snatch any of us away until we've had the exact amount of trials and the exact amount of perfection we need? What do you think God is? You think it's going to be late? You think it's going to be early? Hell no. It's going to be right on time. You shall love your associate as yourself. So start loving yourself. Love yourself. I love myself. That's why I couldn't kill myself back in 2009 or now or anytime. Because I love myself. I amuse myself. I entertain myself. At times I entertain other people. If I'm going to leave this earth, it's going to be God taking me from this earth. I'm not going to do it myself or do anything stupid to lead to it. Love yourself. Only from a platform of accepting yourself can you love other people. Otherwise, if you don't love yourself, you're just pretending to love other people so you can get approval from them. And you don't want to do that. Because that's not true love. That's not true love when you're using other people to fill an empty tank. It looks like you're doing things for them. Looks like you're loving them, but you're not. You're just fishing for them to love you because you desperately need it. So your motivation is not pure. Love your associate as yourself. Let's go on. Verse 10. Love is not working evil to an associate. The complement then of law is love. The whole law is summed up in, like Paul says, love your associate as yourself. That's the whole law. But of course, the nations, we are not under the Mosaic law. Never were, never will be. But we work out what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. So love is the perfection of the law without the law. And love is not working evil to an associate, period. The complement then of law is love. Verse 11, this also do, being aware that of the era that it is already, and this is Paul in the first century. This is Paul in like 56 AD. Be aware of the era. Know where you are on God's Aeonian calendar, for God's sake. Know where you are. Being aware of the era that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. What does he mean, roused out of sleep? I think it means lift up your eyes, for your redemption draws nigh. But Martin, it's 56 AD. Yes, I know. This was and should be and is and always must be the disposition of a believer who is astute, or as Paul would put it, aware of the era. This is the same freaking era that Paul was living in. That it is already the hour for us to be roused, for us now. See us. What do we get out of this? What's in it for me? To be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And I used to think of this as pretty lame. It's like, Paul, tell us when the snatching away will occur. Can you give us any clue, Paul, about the snatching away? Paul goes, yeah, I got a hot one for you. You got a hot one for us, Paul? Because these people, these Romans, and the Corinthians, and the Thessalonians, and the Colossians, they all thought the same way we do. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Get us the hell out of here. Perfect us. We want to see you. That's another thing. We want to see Jesus Christ, see him fulfilled, and see God begin to heal the world. Nothing begins until we're snatched away. I'm going to be telling you that from now until that event. Nothing happens. The fourth eon doesn't begin to happen until the snatching away. The Antichrist is waiting on us. Israel's waiting on us. The millennium is waiting on us. And therefore, the great white throne is waiting on us, and Eon 5 is waiting on us. The new Jerusalem descending from heaven is waiting on us. We are the next big thing on God's Aeonian calendar. This also do, that is, love one another, while at the same time being aware of the era. This harkens back beautifully to 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul says, hold on to things loosely. You can love other people, but be aware of the era. Be aware of where you are on God's Aeonian calendar. You're perched on the brink of immortality. You're about to be changed, and you're about to become the conduit of Christ's love for the entire universe. You, the body of Christ, will be completing the all in all. We complete Christ who completes all. Ephesians 1:23. God is that a verse. Let's finish this now. For now is our, I thought it was a cop-out before, but it's not. And Paul's answer is, tell us something, Paul. You got a hot one? Yeah, I got a hot one for you. Are you ready for this? It's closer today than it was yesterday. Paul, are you kidding me? Can we call you Mr. Obvious? Paul, this is profound. Because this proves to me that we are to be looking for it every day, because this word actually comforts me today, 2,000 years after Paul wrote it. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. It's nearer. That's what we want to hear. Don't you want to hear that? It's nearer. It's nearer. And if it was near for him, if it was nearer for him and the other Romans, the other members of the Ecclesiastes, how near is it for us? My God. If Paul thought it was near, I mean, I think of how, I know I just said that. I can't think of a better way to say it. Think of how near it is for us. It's right at the door. And then Paul says this, the night progresses. Oh, yes, it does. The night progresses. We look out the window, it's dark, scary. Yet, the day is near. The night progresses, yet the day is near.